The applause was deafening, but it did not resound in his heart. Patrick Lencioni had it all. When he graduated from college, he got a managing job at a consulting firm, which was considered as the number one job in America for a college graduate at the time. He had a wonderful wife and four beautiful children. He wrote 11 books and sold 5 million copies, and it was translated into 30 different languages. The Wall Street Journal called him one of the most in-demand speakers in America. He had it all. And now he was speaking at Radio City Music Hall, one of the most prestigious stages in all of America, where other celebrities and athletes and presidents had spoken. And his speech that night was rated as the best in the conference. As he received a thunderous applause, he walked off the stage, right out of the exit door, into St. Patrick's Cathedral. He fell on his knees and began to weep. He felt so empty inside. This can kind of seem so shocking in so many ways because, you know, he wasn't like an alcoholic or addicted to drugs, or, you know, he wasn't like an axe murderer or anything, but he seemed like a person who did everything right, had a relationship with God, he prayed to God, he was competent in his profession, yet he still experienced that existential angst, this deep emptiness, a profound dissatisfaction. And so the question we want to ask ourselves tonight is, why did he, or why do we, sometimes experience this restlessness despite our successes, and how do we solve it? And if we turn to our scriptures, particularly to the gospel today, I think it illumines the dynamic of the heart, which helps us understand the situation. What's amazing about having been to the Holy Land just recently is that we've been to the Lake of Gennesaret, also known as the Sea of Galilee. And we had an opportunity to go on the boat on the Sea of Galilee. So I could in a way imagine Jesus on the shore with the crowds pressing in on him. But I could also imagine him kind of walking maybe on a dock and getting into the boat, just like we got into our boats. Yet the symbol of getting into a boat is very significant for Peter as it is for us. Because getting into a fisherman's boat or anybody's boat requires trust. It would be similar to having someone or a random person getting into the back of your car and saying, "Hey, can I preach to this random mob in the back seat? Is that okay?" Or if somebody randomly went to your cubicle and started doing an online webinar speaking to thousands of people right beside you, you'd be like, "Wow, this is kind of weird." So a relationship of trust had to be developed between Jesus and Peter. And Peter might have had trusted Jesus for a variety of reasons. Maybe he saw a commercial opportunity, you know? 5 shekels for a ride with the Son of God on the boat, right? Or maybe Peter was attracted to Jesus. Maybe something he said on the shore drew him to him. Either way, Jesus became part of Peter's life, just as Jesus becomes part of our lives. We know about Jesus, we've heard about him. We go to Mass, maybe even pray to him in our lives. However, even though trust is important, that's not where the transformation happens. Because Jesus is only a part of our lives. He's asking for something more. So when Jesus finished speaking to the crowds, he then boldly asked Peter to put out into the deep. Again, this is significant because Peter isn't just some amateur fisherman. He was a professional fisherman. He had his own boat. And he knew that some of the best times to fish would be at night, when you'd let down your nets and then the fish couldn't see your nets, so it would be easier to catch them rather than during the day. So imagine again that you're an engineer or a stock trader, and then that random guy who's sitting with you at your cubicle is also telling you how to do your job. "Hey, I think you should build that bridge over there. I think it'll look nice, right? Or maybe sell those stocks. I don't think that company is going to be very profitable now." And then you'd be like, "Excuse me, who are you? A carpenter? Like, tell me what to do." So what prompted Peter to make such a radical move, to trust Jesus? What moved him to put his nets out and go into the deep? Eric was one of those work hard, play hard engineering students from Vancouver. He would drink and do drugs and party all night, and then the next day he would wake up and go to his classes. Or if it was Sunday, he would go to mass with his parents. So he wore a variety of masks. He had a party mask with his friends, he had the excellent student mask, and he even had his religious mask for mass. He did this so he could win the affirmation of all those around him. One day, he was invited to go to some Catholic young adult event. Despite telling himself that he didn't really want to go, he made an act of trust and he went. And when he arrived, a beautiful girl on the other side of the room caught his eye. And so now his initial dread turned into an enthusiasm. Instead of making an obvious and creepy beeline for the girl, he started talking to the tables closest to him, and then to the next, and then to the next. And finally, magically, he was sitting right beside her. He tried to impress her, and so he started flipping around his different masks. You know, oh, maybe she'll like the excellent student mask. It's like, oh, no, that doesn't work. Okay, what about the party mask? Oh, okay. Oh, what about the Jesus mask? She likes Jesus, right? He tried and tried, and nothing seemed to work. And so what happened was, the students were invited to go into the church to pray. And so Eric got a bright idea. What I'll do is I'll run first in ahead of her, and I'll kneel right at the front of the church so she can see me pray. And so there he goes, right to the front of the church. He's kneeling at a perfect angle. He's got his hands, like, okay, he's got to be at like 45 degrees inside of prayer, right? Like, and he's got his head bent low, kind of mystically, but with one eye open to see if she's looking at him. Yet, in that moment, something profound hit him. He didn't know if that girl was behind him or if she went into the church, but all he knew was he was tired of wearing all these different masks. Tired of trying to impress all the different people, whether it be girls, friends, or family. So in that posture of prayer, he actually prayed for real for the first time. He let his masks fall. And in that moment, he encountered Jesus. He met Jesus. Jesus came breaking into his life. And now Jesus was no longer a part of his life. He was now the center of his life. See, the reason why Peter dropped his nets, the reason why Patrick felt so empty, and the reason why Eric felt so tired of wearing all these masks was that they had what I call the "I've been fishing all night and have caught nothing" experience. It's the experience of expending enormous amounts of energy trying to fish, trying to get accolades and honor, trying to impress people with our masks, but at the end of the day, we catch nothing. And so Peter wanted to go deeper into his heart. He wanted to unlock the depths of his desires. So when Jesus calls him to lower his nets and put out into the deep, Peter experienced this resonance in my heart. He desires it. And so he's tired of experiencing the futility of living for himself, and he abandons himself to Jesus. At your command, I will put down the nets. And so Peter suspects that this is no ordinary man. Indeed, when he catches that abundance of fish at an unexpected time, at an unexpected place, he knows right away that he's in the presence of God. He says, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." Yet Jesus looks at him. He pierces him with a gaze that pierces beyond all the masks, all the accolades, all the books and bestsellers, and loves him in his weakness. And Peter experiences a love that is greater, that's worth leaving everything. It gives him new meaning and new purpose. So Jesus is no longer some random dude in his boat, in his cubicle, or in his car. He's the commander of his ship. Peter chooses to put him at the center of his heart, at the center of his life. And so I think today we're invited to ask whether Jesus is a part of my life, on the outskirts of my life. Is he just chilling on the deck, or is he commanding the boat of my life? And the difference we can know between whether Jesus is part of my life or the center of my life is this. When he's a part of my life, we are at the core of our decisions. But when he is at the center of our life, he is at the core of our decisions. Everything passes through him. When I should go to bed, what should I do, the music I listen to, the things I watch, the people I hang out with, the things I love, everything. So at that moment of darkness, Patrick Lencioni recognized that it is only in Jesus. It is only by abandoning myself to him that I will find the fulfillment that I am looking for. So as we prepare to receive the Eucharist, we sing, "Holy, holy, holy," to remind us that God is truly present. But he's not just present. He wants to be consumed. He wants to be in our hearts. And so when we receive him, will we leave him off to the side, or will we enthrone him? And so we have a choice today to put him at the center of our lives. And so we can just pray, "Jesus, I don't want you just to be a part of my life anymore. I want you to be at the center of my life, at the center of my boat, because in you I find my peace."